Welcome to episode 184 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. So today is the last in our multi-episode series to walk you through the 2009 Winter Wonderland Workshop from February 16th to the 24th, 2009. We pick up the trail on the morning of the 23rd when we visited a blue waterfall and had a brief excursion after that to heaven, and then made it back for a pink mountain top shoot at sunset all in one day. On the morning of the 23rd of February 2009, we left the hotel before sunrise and walked around the corner, literally, to the Shirohige Falls, which means basically Whitebeard Falls. The falls themselves are white, but the remarkable thing is that they flow into a blue river. So let's look at image number 2190 to see what I mean. There's nothing done to this image that I don't do to all of my images on import, which is add 18 clicks of blue and green, saturation that is, and 50 clicks of red saturation in Lightroom. And what I'm doing there is sort of basically giving me that Velvia feel from, you know, I used to shoot with Velvia slide film in my film days. And I do this with all of my shots on import, apart from portraits and things where I sort of pull the red down a little bit so that people don't get too sort of blushed. But, you know, generally that's what I do to everything. So in comparison, you know, you can see that these falls probably, you know, are pretty blue to start with. It's the mineral content, apparently, that makes them this way, but the blueness does vary from day to day. On this day, I think at least, they were pretty spectacular. You can't get down to water level here. You have to shoot from a bridge. The river sort of flows where we can see it here, and then it banks around to its right and goes under the bridge that we're standing on. You're quite high above the water, but you know, if you did go down to the bank, there are trees there at the side of the river, and that would they pretty much obscure your shot anyway. I uploaded a horizontal and a vertical version of these falls. The vertical version gives us you know, a view of both the water and quite a lot of the falls, and then the river running in front of it, whereas the horizontal concentrates more on the river, filling maybe half of the frame, because, you know, if you get even closer to the falls, even in the horizontal version, you start to get sort of snow at the sides of the from the sides of the falls, and that really sort of, I don't know, it just gets in the way a little bit and sort of breaks the harmony. If you do, you know, in the horizontal one though, I have actually closed in. I've sort of zoomed a fair amount more into the scene, so you can see a lot of detail in the rock and the moss and stuff behind the falls. So, you know, they've both got things about them that I do quite like. The falls themselves are quite a lot wider than this, but, you know, as I say, if you try to go wider and get the whole scene, then you do end up with these patches of snow that mess things up. So I prefer the tighter crop here. I used the 5D Mark II for this shot. For most of this day, I used the 5D Mark II as the main camera. I'd shot a little bit of video and some, you know, stuck a mic in the jack there so that I could get better, you know, audio quality. And I was trying to make a reasonable job of what little video I did shoot. And, you know, the thing is here, the weather was good. I wanted to get a bit of video and I wasn't worried about the camera failing. And last week I'd mentioned a trip that I couldn't stop thinking was Iceland, where a number of 5D Mark IIs died. But I'd like to today thank David Byrne, who actually was on that trip. And David posted a forum post over at martinbaileyphotography.com to sort of clarify the story. And he pointed out that it was Antarctica, not Iceland. I was a little bit annoyed with myself because I'd actually said that it was Antarctica and not Iceland when I was talking to the participants of the Hokkaido trip about this. But for some reason last week, When I was preparing, I couldn't get it out of my head. I'd just got fixated on the fact that it was Iceland, and that's why I couldn't find the post on the luminous landscape, things like this. So anyway, you know, thanks for the clarification, David. And just to sort of, you know, go into a little bit more detail here, apparently it was around one quarter of the 5D Mark IIs that failed in Antarctica, which it was 5 or 6 out of around 25 bodies. Some of them recovered, apparently, and some didn't. And, you know, I personally still think that's a lot, especially when you consider that many people were using rain covers. And I've been thinking about this a little bit, and I'm starting to think that maybe, you know, I wasn't there or anything like that, so it's pure speculation. But I'm starting to think that rain covers may have even compounded the problem. You know, apparently on the luminous landscape, it says that it was due to condensation. And I personally rarely use rain covers. What I prefer to do is to just drape a cloth over the top of the camera. And I actually have a cloth that I bought in a camera store with little Velcro pads on. And if you wrap it back round and sort of, you know, and put the Velcro against the cloth, it will stick to itself. So I can kind of wrap it round and then fix it on there and over the lens. And I generally use that most of the time when I'm in rainy conditions. And what happens is that, you know, like the wicking effect of the cloth, the material, it's plenty to keep the camera dry. It gets not dry, it gets wet, but it's like it's, you know, the wicking effect of the cloth sort of takes it away, and it's not like you're putting it in a bucket of water or something like that. And of course it's porous, so you know, the camera can still breathe. And then I'll sort of just raise it off. I'll, you know, undo the Velcro, or I'll sort of just drape it over the top when I'm shooting. And then if I'm going to throw it over my shoulder again, I'll use the Velcro to wrap it up again. And so, you know, basically, I'm thinking that way of doing it, I don't know how much rain there was. If it was just raining all of the time, then, you know, maybe the rain covers were better. But I'm also thinking that they're going to trap in the humidity, especially if they're the type that you have your hands inside the cover. You know, because you're going to start to warm up the inside there yourself, you know, creating more condensation and humidity. So I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that it's possible that the rain covers could have even compounded the problem as well. Like I say, though, it's total pure speculation. I do want to reiterate that I do love the 5D Mark II. I'm in no way panning this. My comparison was really to the 1DS Mark III. And it's, you know, it's like a $2,500 camera compared to an $8,000 camera. The 1DS is built like a brick, but you pay for that. So I am enjoying very much shooting with the 5D Mark II as well. I think it's a great camera, and you know, it's nice to be able to get the same size images as those from my 1DS Mark III. Did I say Mark II earlier? I forget. The 1DS Mark III from a camera a quarter of the price, basically. Well, a third of the price. Anyway, back to the waterfall. I shot this image at f13 for a half a second with the ISO set to 50, which gave me a little bit of sort of dreamy running water effect there. For a while, when we were shooting, we were all getting soft shots. You know, the focus seemed a little bit out when looking at them on the LCD. And I was pleased that I realized that this was because we'd left the image stabilization on. Although modern IS is supposed to sense when you're on a tripod and not function, it seems that the running water of the falls was tricking the IS and making it try to correct it. Luckily, I figured this out while we were still there and alerted the group to this so we could all sort of turn it off and get some good shots before we left. We walked back to the hotel literally just 3 minutes from the bridge, had breakfast, and then set out. And it was actually nice this day because this was the only place on the tour where we'd be in the same hotel for 2 consecutive nights. This meant that we didn't have to pack up all of our stuff before leaving after breakfast, and it felt like quite a luxury after 8 days on the road now. We were heading for the Tokachi mountain range. There'd been a lot of snowfall, so the driver wasn't confident that we'd be able to climb the winding road up the side of the mountain to the proposed location. We found ourselves slipping a little bit on the way, but we made it. And I have to say that, you know, even I was not prepared for the view that we got when we climbed a snowbank to peer out across what I can only describe as heaven on earth. Let's take a look at image number 2192. Now, rarely am I secretive about locations that I take people to. But this one, I'm not going to go into too much detail about because we will probably be kept from shooting here if hordes of visitors start to turn up to shoot. And I definitely want to take participants back to this on future tours. It would, of course, you know, not be the same. The whole scene would not be the same without fresh snow. And, you know, that dramatic sky there adds so much to the image. Other highlights for me are the fact that there's animal tracks that work their way down the ridge, that ridge that's coming in at an angle on the left of the frame. And then they walk down through the trees and around the bottom of the valley by the stream and then off through the valley and out of sight. You can't see this very well on this image on the web version, except for around the bottom of the valley, like a U shape. But in the large version, you can trace these right the way down the hillside. You can actually see it better in the next shot, but let's take a look at, you know, a little bit more information about this one before we move on. Whenever I buy a new piece of kit, I always feel really happy when I get to use it for something special like this. It makes me feel happy that I, you know, in my decision to sort of lay out what is often a significant amount of money for some of that high-end L glass from the Big C. This was another time on the tour where I was incredibly happy that I'd bought the 14mm f2.8 version 2 lens. It felt as though the angle of view was just made for this valley. I'd done some shots with my other lens. I think it was the 70-200, you know, turned up vertical. And I was going to, basically what I did was worked across the valley and then I was going to stitch them back together in Photoshop before I put the 14mm f2.8 on. And I haven't even tried to stitch them together yet. I just think that this one does it all for me. I will probably give it a go at some point. I'll see if I can make something that's as good as this, but with more pixels. But I doubt I will. I've printed this one out too at 13 by 19 inches. And it's another one of those hairs on the back of the head standing up sort of shots. I just love it. It was shot at f8 for 1,250th of a second with ISO 100. As I said, shooting with the 5D Mark II for most of the day, including this one. I have some video clips from this location as well, which I still haven't looked at. I will do soon, though. I'm hoping that they'll bring back some of the magic of this location as the clouds move slowly across the sky. In image number 2193, even in the web version, you can see the animal tracks that I mentioned. I'm thinking that these are probably fox tracks as, the animal was moving alone. If they were deer tracks, there'd probably be many more of them because, you know, deer generally tend to travel in herds. I'm glad that it wasn't, though, because just this one lone animal sort of, you know, trudging through the snow and out through the valley adds a lot to the image, I think. It was difficult in this shot to frame it with all of the corners clean, and I thought about cropping the bottom off the image slightly to get the tree in the right bottom right hand corner, just get rid of that a little bit. This is what I was thinking when I framed the shot, and I haven't done it yet, but I haven't ruled it out either. I'm still thinking about that one. Another thing that I was conscious of is that tree just above center to the right and then the other one just below it on the left side. I positioned these two trees sort of, you know, in the center of the shot, either side of center. And that's another reason why I'm not sure that I really want to crop the bottom as well, because it'll take those off center. So, you know, I'm sort of, you know, the jury's still out on this one. The other thing that I really like about this shot is the tonal qualities of the snow. I had noticed that as the cloud partially covered the sun, the sun kept going through phases of being pretty strong with relatively harsh shadows, right down to very, very soft shadows like this. And we get that beautiful gradation between the steeper and then the less steep parts of the slope. We have a bank of darker snow running diagonally from the top left to the middle right, with lighter patches on the top right and then the bottom left, and then that beautiful gradation between them. And that, to me, just adds a lot, adds so much to the scene. It also is pretty much where the animal tracks run across the image. You know, that gradation just sort of comes in there, and it makes it even better, in my opinion. Because I'd waited for more cloud cover here, I needed 1/500th of a second at F8, using the manual exposure mode. So I had to sort of, keep that in mind as I was shooting. So it's over half the exposure of the last one. In image number 2196, I'd switched from the 7200 that I used for the last shot to the 300mm f2.8 now. I wanted to single out some of the peaks of the Tokachi Mountains as they were enshrouded in this mist and cloud, as we can see here. Still at f8, this scene required a shutter speed of 1/1000th of a second. Not quite as special as the last few shots, but still that rugged beauty of the mountains comes through in the image, I think. I should mention that I didn't use a polarizing filter for any of these shots, and I suggested that the other participants didn't either. The main reason is because we were shooting towards the sun, and I don't think the polarizer would have made the sky any bluer, or the blue of the sky any darker. Also, when shooting these snow scenes, you know, you often find that the snow's so bright that the sky is recorded pretty blue anyway. And in the first shot that we looked at, you know, I think that the balance is pretty much spot on. And here too, if we'd have gone any darker, it probably would have started to look polarized, which I think can be taken a little bit too far sometimes. It was incredibly difficult to pull ourselves away from this location. No one wanted to leave. We had to, though. We had other plans. So we went back to BA and we shot the trees that we'd shot the day before in clearer conditions this time, though, with nice dramatic skies. I ended up not uploading any of these images myself, kind of preferring the ones that were almost totally whited out that we looked at last week. But I've started to see some shots from the other participants now, and I like what I see. I might have to revisit some of my images that I culled originally. After shooting the trees, my plan was to go to one of the higher points in the area in BA and shoot the sunset, and hopefully, if the conditions were right, the warm sunlight of sunset hitting the tops of the Tokachi Mountains and the Asahi Dake Mountains, you know, Mount Asahi, the way we were the other day. Both of these mountains we'd become quite intimate with, and I was hoping to be able to get some shots of them from afar. As we can see in image number 2198, we got a little bit lucky with the sunset. There was some nice cloud formation and the sun broke through slightly, making some nice rays. I shot this with the 70-200mm f2.8 lens at f11 with a shutter speed of 1/160th of a second at ISO 100. Again, I shot a little bit of video here, haven't looked at it yet. The plan came together pretty nicely here too, though, as we can see in image number 2199. This is a stitch of three horizontal shots taken with the 600mm f4 lens, and it's Mount Asahi, where we'd been the previous day, shooting around the bottom of the ski slopes, if you remember. If you zoom in on this image on the screen, you can actually see the cable car lines running up the side of the mountain and the station that we'd gone up to a few days before in the hope of a patch of clear sky. It's just before, the station is just before those volcanic vents that you can see sort of pluming steam out just left of center of the frame below that belt of cloud. The warm sunset was bathing the mountain in a beautiful pink color, but it was working its way up the mountain pretty quickly. We were aware that we didn't have long to shoot this. I also shot the Tokachi Mountain, which was probably, 35, 40 degrees or so to the right of this one from our viewpoint. That was where we'd been earlier this day. And it was a similar pink, but it wasn't as nice as this shot, which I shot, by the way, at f5.6 for 1/100th of a second at ISO 100. As the light dropped, I lowered the shutter speed to 1/60th of a second for image number 2200. Here, I tried a non-conventional composition for which I was later cursed on the bus by one of the participants, in a good way, of course. The sun was only lighting up the top of the mountain that we can see here. So what I did was I decided to move that to the bottom of the frame, leaving a lot of sky above, and sort of really feel that it makes the mountain feel some way free or untouched, so it's sort of looking up at the sky. And there's that little bit of dark cloud in the top right, which breaks up the total nothingness that the sky would be otherwise. So all in all, I'm quite happy with this shot at the end of the eighth day of the trip. Having seen this beautiful mountain on a clear day from afar, we decided that it was, you know, if it was clear the next day, we would go back there for one last try to go up in the cable car to photograph the summit and the volcanic vents and things there. And that's what we did. The sun was shining and the sky was clear as we set off on the last day of the trip. But again, as you know, when we got there, the mountains had created their own weather and conditions were pretty much the same as the first few days that we'd visited. We'd already done everything that we'd planned to do for these last 3 days, and so nothing was lost, but we didn't really have that productive a last day. We went back to the... And we did a shoot at the river at the base of the mountain afterward. You know, we spent an hour there sort of hoping that it would clear because, you know, the mountains really can be, you know, they just do what they want to do. And sometimes they'll just clear up for a while and let you photograph them. But, you know, it wasn't happening. So, you know, although we were disappointed, we left, we drove back down the mountain and started to shoot the river. Just as you sort of really come off the slope and get to flat land. Chris, the guy that had only joined us for the last 3 days of the tour, pulled some great images out of this last location. And I think he was still fresh and hungrier than the rest of us at this point to make the most of the trip, which he certainly did. Keep your eyes out for the book that I'll be putting together of photos from the participants as well. I'm sure you'll see some of his shots from the last day in there. And that really brings us to the end of the series. I made another recording on the bus that I'm going to play us out with. There's not a lot else that I have to say except for that if you've listened to this and you're interested in joining us next year, I'll be posting details and starting to take bookings from my workshops website very soon. Hopefully no later than the end of April. So check out www.mbpworkshops.com for details. I'll say goodbye for now, though, and what we'll do is don't press the stop button just yet, because we'll, like I say, I'll play you out with the audio clip from the bus. But apart from that, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Okay, so here we are at the end of the night, well, the middle of the ninth day of the Winter Wonderland Workshop in Hokkaido, and we lost two of the first, not lost as in they didn't die. We said goodbye to Jorg and Forrest after the fifth day, and a day after that we picked up Chris. So we've got one extra member with us now, and we're going to do the same thing again. Just have a quick round table and talk about the highlights of the tour for us, and then we'll hopefully, you know, have a few comments from each of the gentlemen. So let's take it away, Chris.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. I'm Chris. Chris LaFleur. Live in Tokyo, and well, we're just seeing another fox as we drive by the Hokkaido countryside here. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is coming to you live from Hokkaido. But we've had a great time here. I've been here with the group only for 3 days, but we've had a great time driving through the very picturesque, particularly picturesque in the wintertime, Hokkaido scenery here. Getting a chance to shoot some really striking graphic photographic images of open snowy fields with individual trees highlighted against sometimes gray, sometimes light skies, but creating an opportunity for great atmosphere in the photography. So we've had, a very interesting time here, and I think we're all happy that we've had this opportunity to be up here. So I'll turn it back over to our host.
Thanks, Chris. So who wants to go next? Look at this. Okay, Aaron.
Hi, it's Aaron again after 4 days of landscape shooting, and I have primarily focused on wildlife up to this point, so it's been nice to change my focus and try to learn some new skills and work with the tripod a bit more. The highlight for me up to this point is, of the second half has been the Shirohige Falls with the blue river that flows through there. That was a nice setting. It's been an excellent tour, even though 9 days now. I'm ready to go back to Tokyo, but I'm really happy I returned for a second helping.
Thanks, Aaron. Graham.
It's Martin. Graham Morgan from Australia. It's hard to believe that we've been on the road 9 days. It's gone so quickly. The last section, of course, was the landscape shooting and some wonderful opportunities at minimalist type landscapes, but some terrific snowscapes as well. My highlight for the second part of the trip would be the wild light that we had, which gave it gave the landscape such wonderful character. This is my second time on the Martin Bailey bun fight. And, I've had such a wonderful time. I think I'll come back again next year.
Thanks, Graham. Ade.
Hi there. This is Ade. The second part of the tour has been mainly landscaping. The highlight of my experience will definitely be the waterfalls and the reflective blue waters. But all in all, it's been an absolutely excellent trip.
Thanks a lot. So
thank you, Mark.
I think we've had a bit of bad luck today. I think it was 3 days ago, we were trying to go up to Mount Asahi, but the weather wasn't going to let it happen. There was no visibility at the top there, so we had to cut that short. We brought a few things forward so that we could start to get the things that we wanted to do done. We went back there today, in the hope that there were going to be some clear skies. But again, as we got towards the mountain, it was just, the snow started coming down again. So it didn't happen. But we've had a lot of other good experiences. In addition to what the guys have all just mentioned, my favourite point, as far as just a breathtaking vista is concerned, has been the view from the hot springs at Tokachi Mountain. That was just amazing. And so I'll be bringing you a podcast, so hopefully, probably two or three at least, and we'll look at some photos together, and we'll have a chat about that, and I'll maybe put a slideshow together as well. And there'll more than likely be a book, so you can pick that up if you want to see some of the shots that we've all put together. So thanks very much, though, gentlemen, for coming along, and we'll hopefully see some of you again.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.